sharing my faith. Can we be honest for just a second? How many of you are just a little bit intimidated by that idea? Go ahead and raise your hand if that's just a little intimidating. Yeah. You know, some people call it evangelism. Some people call it evangelizing. But I think a lot of us just call it awkward. How do you talk about Jesus to people? You know, I recently read a book called The Evangelizing Church, A Lutheran Contribution. It was written by Lutheran pastors for Lutherans. And in this book, they surveyed the ELCA, which is what we're a member of, the ELCA. And they discovered that the vast majority of ELCA members do not like to talk about their faith with other people. In fact, it's a common conception that a Lutheran evangelist is an oxymoron. It just doesn't happen. And what's really interesting to me and ironic is that our passage today in Mark 1, 40-45, in verse 44, is Lutheranism's most favorite command of Jesus. Because after Jesus healed the leper, he said to the leper, "See to it that you say nothing to anyone." And we're like, yeah, I can obey that command, Jesus, because I am not talking about my faith. Why is it that we are so freaked out by sharing my faith? You know, there's all kinds of reasons for it. And I'm not even going to talk about the reasons why. Because what I want us to do this morning is I just want to take all of those fears and inhibitions and just let them fall off to the side for a minute. Because this morning, I want us to just look at one life and four words. Now, in your bulletin, there's a green piece of paper. I would like you to take that out, if you wouldn't mind. I created a little follow-along notes page for you today. And you'll see right at the top in the middle is this box that says one life. Let's do an exercise together. You might want to close your eyes for this, but I want you to think about your daily routines as you move through your schedule. And I want you to start seeing the faces of people that you encounter day in and day out. Now, maybe it's people that you don't really know. It's like the waitress that serves at the coffee shop or the guy who drives the bus. Or maybe it's people that you know really well. It's a coworker or the guy who sits next to you in English. Or maybe it's even a close friend or a family member. And as you sort through all those faces, I want you to ask God to show you one life. Someone who you know is hurting right now. And someone who needs to know the love of God in their life. My guess is that you know someone who, for whatever reason, has not yet learned that God loves them. And that God can heal them. And that Jesus is real. I want you to hold that person in your mind. And if that person is clear to you, even write their name in that box. One life. And now I want us to look at our story in Mark chapter 1. It starts in verse 40. You might want to pull your Bible out for that. It's really a simple story to tell. It's a leper comes up to Jesus, and he begs Jesus to heal him, and Jesus heals him, and he goes off made whole. In this story, we see an example, we see the example of how to share our faith as Jesus encounters this one life. There are four words in this story that jump out at me, four words that capture the essence of the gospel and show us how to share our faith with one life. The first word is compassion. The leper comes to Jesus and falls down on his face, and he begs Jesus to heal him. How do you respond when someone exposes their pain to you? I mean, really. Someone that's close to you that shows you their real pain. That's an awkward thing for us, isn't it? I mean, we don't have time for that. We don't know what to do with that. We want to get away from that. And sometimes we might even twist it and say that that person might actually deserve the pain because of decisions that they've made. They're just suffering natural consequences. You know, whatever we can do to compartmentalize it and get away from it. You know, that's what they did to the lepers back in Jesus' day. It was common theology to believe that lepers had leprosy because of sin in their life or sin in their family's life. And so it would have been absolutely acceptable for Jesus to have brushed this guy off because he was a leper. But Jesus didn't do that. When Jesus saw this leper, he was moved with compassion. Now, the NRSV, our translation, says he was moved with pity. And that's a good translation, but I think it's a little too small. The Greek word here is splanchnitzomai. That has this idea of a gut-wrenching response. It is affection towards this person. You see, that's how God sees us. When God looks at us, he doesn't see our leprosy. He doesn't see the failure or the fear or the labels that society has slapped on us. He sees a person created in the image and likeness of himself. And he is moved with compassion. When you meet people, are you moved with compassion, or do you just want them to move? The second word is willingness. The leper came up to Jesus and said, "Jesus, if you choose to heal me, if you are willing to heal me, you can do it." And Jesus looked down at him and he said, "I do choose. I am willing to heal you." Now, this is a simple thing, but it's important. It's one thing to be moved by compassion when you see someone's pain, but it is an entirely different thing to be willing to do something about it. To decide, I will get up and walk across the office and talk to my coworker. I will stop and talk to the mom at the bus stop and listen to her story. I will take time for that one life and listen and connect. Willingness to do it. The third word is touch. Now, this one's huge. Jesus touched a leper. You know, in those days, it was common belief that leprosy was a highly contagious disease. And the law required that if you had leprosy and you saw people coming, you had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean, stay away from me." No one ever touched a leper. Can you imagine how that must have felt? Jesus came up and he touched him. How must that have felt to the leper? He touched me. We can never underestimate the power of a human touch. You know, when my kids are upset and the world is falling down around them, I don't know what to say. I try to say things and it's usually stupid. And eventually, all I can do is open my arms and say, just come here. Put my arms around him and touch him. Say, it's going to be okay. You know, that is why God had to become human. Jesus came in the flesh because the world needed to see God with skin on. We as human beings needed the physical touch of God. And when Jesus was here, he touched people. Today, we are the hands of Jesus. When we take time to notice that one life, when we take time to listen to their story and enter into their pain and reach out and touch that person, we may very well be the touch of God in their life. Think about that one life that you wrote down. Does that person need the healing touch of Jesus today? Can you be that touch? That leads us to the fourth word, sacrifice. Look what happens in the story. Jesus says to this leper, after he heals him, he says, don't tell anyone. I'm like, what? Is that confusing? That's confusing to me. Like, why? Jesus, isn't the point that we go out and tell the world about this great, amazing healing? Well, I think what's going on here, part of what's going on here, is that Jesus knows what's going to happen if this guy talks about it, which he did, and it did. But Jesus knew that two things would happen if he reached across this barrier and touched a leper and healed him. First thing that would happen is that instantly Jesus would become a rock star. I mean, people would start flocking to him because lepers would come to him and the sick and the outcast would come to Jesus and he would have a mob around him. So Jesus would lose his freedom. No longer could he walk around freely as just the regular guy. The other thing that would happen is that Jesus would get the attention of the leaders of Israel and he would become a threat to them because they knew that if he was rabbling up a mob, that the Roman government would take notice and they would put the screws on tighter to Israel. So Jesus would become a threat. Now Jesus knew that this would happen if he touched the leper. And yet he does it anyway. Why? Because he had compassion for this human being. Sharing your faith, being the hands of Jesus in one life, is risky business. 2 weekends ago, I was at a winter retreat with some of our high school students. And I got to tell you, we have great students at this church. And one of our sessions, we were sitting around and we were having this conversation. And we were asking, what are some of the barriers that keep us from letting God really be the center of our life and following Jesus passionately? And unanimously, the biggest barrier for our high school students was fear of what people might think if they start talking about Jesus. Afraid that they would be labeled as some kind of a freak, or even worse, some kind of a bigot or prejudice or whatever. But you know, I don't think that's a high school problem. The truth is that if you start talking about Jesus to people, about how God's grace and God's forgiveness and the kingdom of God, that it is the hope of the world, people will change the way they think about you and look at you. You could very well be labeled as something you don't want to be labeled as. People might even scrutinize you with a different set of standards. You might lose a position in society. These things are real. That is a risk that we would have to take. But I want you to think about that one life. Look at it. If you've written it on that paper, look at it. And we have to ask ourselves this. Do I believe that the power of Jesus' love and forgiveness would bring healing and hope to that person in their life? If I believe that that's true, then I need to ask, am I willing to risk it? Am I willing to reach out and touch that person? Am I willing to listen to their story, to spend time with them, to pray for them, to pray with them, to talk about Jesus with them, to bring them to the community of Jesus? Am I willing to share my faith with them? Imagine what would happen if every one of us in this room committed to praying for one life. And we were willing to ask God to show us how to touch that life. Now, the reason I gave you a piece of paper today is because I want you to do something with it. I'm challenging you. It has a dotted line around the box because I want you to cut it out with that one name written on it and commit to pray for that person every day. Put that piece of paper somewhere where you see it. Maybe tape it to your mirror when you're brushing your teeth. Put it in your wallet or in your planner and pray. Ask God to show you how you can reach out and touch that person and be the tangible demonstration of Jesus in their life. Let's be the hand of Christ as we share our faith this week. I'm going to ask you right now to stand and pray with me. The band's going to come up. Father, these are challenging words. It is scary to think about putting it out there and saying that we follow Jesus in our world today. Give us the courage. We know that you have given us the greatest gift of your grace, that we can follow you in your kingdom. Help us to share that with those who need it so much. In Jesus' name, amen.